We're doing the book of Shemuel. We had learned about how Shaul had failed to annihilate Amalek. Shaul had failed to wait for Shemuel. Shaul was notified that he would lose the kingdom. Shemuel had gone and anointed David as the future king of the Jewish people. We had learned how Shaul started being plagued by a bad spirit. And his servant said, you see that you're upset. Hashem has sent a bad spirit to you. Why don't you send us out to search for someone who will play the harp and make you feel good? And then we had learned about the man Doeg HaDomi. On the one hand, he is tremendously learned. On the other hand, he has this weakness of Lashon Hara. So even though he's a huge Talmid Chacham, he will destroy his life and Shaul's life and David's life, because he will plant the seeds, he will plant the venom between Shaul and David. And so Doeg HaDomi tells Shaul, I saw a kid by Yishai in Beit Lechem. He is mighty, he is a man of war, he has understanding, he makes an amazing impression, and Hashem is with him. And every sentence, every two words that he's saying, he's trying to make Shaul feel like these are the qualities you don't have. So even though he's going to bring David, he will plant the venom of hatred in Shaul for David even before he's brought David. So Shaul sends word to Yishai and asks him to send over David. So Yishai sends an honorable gift with David, a donkey, bread, wine, a coat, in honor of Shaul. And David comes, and Shaul loves him very much, and David becomes Shaul's arms bearer. And Shaul likes David so much, he sends words to Yishai, I would like David to stay by me. How old is David at this point? That depends. We discussed our two opinions as to whether Shaul's reign lasted for 2 years or much longer. If it lasted for 2 years, then David is somewhere close to 30, because David is going to be 30 when Shaul will pass. So David is somewhere in his 20s. And every time Shaul feels bad, David takes the harp and plays music, and Shaul feels better. The Philistines are gathering to war. And Shaul goes out to war. David has some vacation. He goes back home to watch the sheep. The Philistines are standing on one mountaintop. The Jews are standing on another mountaintop. Now the Jews are in a better position for war. And the Philistines send a man to approach the Jewish camp. Now, this man is 6 amos tall, meaning this man is about 12 feet tall, and he has such armor, he has a helmet that the helmet has a nose piece that runs down till his legs. So that means that if you wanted to slice across him in his armor, you couldn't. He has the armor that he's wearing is weighs 5,000 coins, meaning he's wearing like if you've ever seen the knights, layers of metal. What's it called?
Chainmail.
Okay, so he has this tremendous armor, and he has coming down from the sides of his helmet also long poles, so that if you want to hit him in the neck with a sword, you also couldn't. His armor is affixed. He has a sword that is the best sword of all time, and his sword has a special lock in the sheath. You can't even draw the sword without knowing how to open the lock. He has his spear is so big that it's like the beam that they used for weavers, the beam that would roll the cloth. So this big spear, and he's powerful enough to hold it. And he has going in front of him a young man who happens to be one of the greatest warriors of all time. His name is Uriah the Hittite, Uriah Hachiti. Uriah Hachiti is the arms bearer in front of Goliath, in front of Goliath, and he himself is actually one of the greatest warriors. After this war, he will convert, to Judaism and join David's army, and he will be listed as the top 30 soldiers David had. One of David's top men, top generals. So this is his arms bearer. Okay, Uriah the Hittite is playing second to Goliath. And every day he goes towards the Jewish camp and he blasphemes. And he says, where are you guys? I killed your chosen family. Goliath is the one who killed Hophni and Pinchas, the two sons of Eli HaKohen, in the beginning of the book of Shmuel. Goliath is the one who took the ark. Goliath is the one who took the Luchos, the tablets, out of the ark and mocked the Jews. You guys value these. Shaul back then was not yet king, and he had the courage to run up to Goliath and pull the Luchos out of his hands. But now Shaul doesn't dare. And Goliath keeps walking towards the Judean camp every day. And he says, I will fight any one of you. Why do we all have to die a battle? One of you will fight one of us. I'll take on anyone you like. And if I'm victorious, all of you should be slaves. If you are victorious, all of us will be your slaves. And he says, you see, I've put you all to shame. You can't even put one man forward to fight me. Everyone got scared of him. And David's three brothers were in the camp among Shaul's men. Yishai calls David. And he tells him, I want you to go visit your brothers. Bring them some food. Bring their generals some food. But I want you to take from them, have them each sign on a divorce contract. Because if they get lost at war, the Philistines used to mutilate the Jews' bodies so that the Jews wouldn't know who was lost at war, who died at war. He says, I want you to bring back divorce contracts from each of your brothers that their wives should not be left agunot, women who don't know their status and can never remarry. So it'll be a divorce contract on condition. If they come home safely, then the divorce is annulled. If they don't come home by X amount of time, then their wives are divorced, and that way they'll be free. So David comes to the camp, and he brings the gifts his father sent, and David asks his brothers how they're doing, and as he's talking to them, he hears Goliath. Now, Goliath and David and his brothers are actually, they have something in common. David is a descendant of Ruth, the Moabite. Goliath is a descendant of Orpah. You remember Orpah? There were two wives. Mahlon married Ruth. Chilion married Orpah. The night that Orpah turned her back on Naomi, she went and slept with 1,000 Philistines and a dog. And from that night, Goliath was born. And the dog. So she went after her most base desires. And Goliath was born from all of them. And David sees Goliath. And he says, what's going on here? Why is everyone scared of him? So men said, he's blaspheming, he's cursing all of us. The king said, whoever will take him down, the king will make him wealthy and let him marry his daughter, and his family will be free from taxes. So David said, what? What did the king say? He's giving what reward? It's an honor to remove the shame of that man from the people of Israel. What's he worth? Why is he cursing God's camps? So they heard him as though he's willing to do it. So they started gathering around him and saying, this is what the king promised. So his brother Eliav, his older brother, starts yelling at him. And he says, what'd you come here for? You irresponsible brat. Why aren't you watching the sheep? I know you. What a bad heart you have. You just think it's exciting to see war. David goes, what do? I just talk to people. Chazal say, because of this yelling that Eliav yelled at his younger brother, this is an indication of Eliav's arrogance, and that's why Hashem said earlier to Shmuel, I hate him. What a difficult line Hashem says about a person, that he hates him. So David leaves his brother Eliav, and he keeps hearing this. And David says, "Well, why? I do it. Why are you all scared?" And Shaul gets word that there's a young man who's willing to do it. So David is summoned before Shaul. David says to Shaul, "Don't worry about it. What am I? I'm a kid, right? I'm a youngster. What'll happen if he takes me down? It proves nothing, but I'll take him down. Don't worry." Shaul says, "You're still young. He's been trained at war since he was a youngster. How are you going to do it?" David tells Shaul, "Look, I was watching the sheep. And one time as I was watching the sheep, a lion came with its cubs. And it took one of the sheep. And then I didn't know what came over me. I ran after the lion. I grabbed it by its beard. I smacked it across the face. Took the cub. And the lion went running from me. And I didn't know what happened. Now, with my own hands, I killed the lion. I grabbed the lion by its beard. That's not normal. But after it happened, I said, why did God put that into me? That's, something's going on here." A similar story happened with a bear. A bear came with its cubs, and it took one of the sheep. And I ran after the bear, and I grabbed it by its beard. And I hit it with my hands, and I killed it. Now, that's also not normal. And then I stood back, and I said, why did this just happen? And I realized it was a sign from heaven. The fact that I was able to do it was a sign that one day I would be faced with a situation that I wouldn't think it's natural I should be successful. And if I was successful in these two times, I'm supposed to stand up for that. So I'm sure I'm supposed to go out against him. Yes?
Very honest questions. Were there lions and bears in Eretz Israel? Today there's
sure.
None.
Why do you think there are none?
Wild?
Sure.
Where?
There is, according to the history, the lion in Israel is a little bit smaller compared to the lion in Israel, compared to the ones that they got.
Sure, there are lions in Israel. Check, you'll see. I have a book at home on the wild animals of Israel. Lions, for sure. As far as bears, so it seems from the text that there were bears here. The Navi Yeshaya speaks about lions eating hay. He was talking about the lions of Africa. So he tells Shaul, Hashem saved me from the hands of the lion and the bear. He's going to save me from the Philistine. Shaul says, okay, you convinced me. Hashem should be with you. And Shaul gives David his own armor. Now, David was not the same size as Shaul, yet miraculously it all fit. And David saw that, and Shaul saw that. And Shaul saw in it a sign that David had the potential to be king instead of him. And David right away saw how Shaul looked at him. And he didn't want to go out with Shaul looking at him that way. So he says, I can't do this. I've never worked with armor. I won't be able to fight like this. So he took off Shaul's armor. He took his staff from one end and he chose 5 stones from the stream. And he put them in his knapsack, and he took his slingshot with him, and he went out to approach Goliath. So Goliath sees David, and in front of Goliath is his arms bearer, Uriah the Hittite, and he looks down at David and he mocks him. So David was young and he was good looking, and Goliath said, "You think I'm a dog?" Well, there was a reason he asked that question.
His mother was and a dog.
And he says, "What are you coming to me with a stick for?" And he starts blaspheming and cursing David. And he tells David, "Come here, I will feed your flesh to the wild birds of heaven and the wild animals in the field." So David said, on the field are domesticated animals. Wild animals are out in the forest. The guy's lost it already. So David said to him, now all the Philistines are watching from the Philistine camp, and all the Jews are watching from the Jewish camp. David said, you are approaching me with a sword, with a spear, you're approaching me with armor, and I'm approaching you with one thing, with the name of Hashem who controls armies, and he is the God of the camp of Israel, and you've dared speak blaspheme against him. Today Hashem will give you in my hands, and I will beat you, and I will remove your head, and I will give the Philistine camp over to the birds of heaven and the wild animals of the earth, and everyone will know that Hashem is there for the Jewish people. And everyone here watching will know that it's not the sword or the spear that will save people, but rather Hashem chooses who will be victorious, and Hashem's given you in our hands. And the Philistine starts approaching David. Now, this is a moment the Philistines have been waiting for, because decades earlier, the Jews had their giant. He was the last of the judges in the book of Judges. His name was Shimshon. Remember, the Philistines were still reeling from the story of Samson. 20 years after Shimshon's death, they were scared in the dark. Maybe he's lurking somewhere, because they didn't find his body in the rubble. So now the Philistines finally had their Shimshon. They had their Goliath. And the Philistines, this is what they were waiting for. Now they're finally going to show the Jews. Okay, but Shimshon's strength didn't come from his brawn, his brute force. It came from the fact that Hashem had appointed him to lead the Jewish people. So the Philistine is approaching David, and David runs towards him. And David takes out a stone. There are two opinions. One opinion says all five became one. The other opinion says the other four remained in his bag. He took the stone and he put it in his slingshot and he threw it. And Chazal say things started happening in slow motion. The stone is flying through the air and it's not supposed to succeed. It's supposed to hit his helmet and bounce off into the earth. And in heaven, every element has an angel. So the element of stone, that angel comes and talks to the element of metal and says, let me in, I gotta kill the Philistine. So the metal says, no. So he says, what do you mean no? He's gotta die. So he says, what's it worth to you? Why should I let you in? Give me something. So he says, okay. Until this day, circumcisions were done by stone. From this day onward, the custom will change. The Jews will start circumcising with metal. I'll give you the mitzvah that's done with stone. You give me the mitzvah of killing the Philistine and making a Kiddush Hashem today. You have a deal. They cut a deal. And so the Medrash says that it was over that. That the Medrash says he shouldn't have won. The stone should not have penetrated the helmet of Goliath. And the Pasuk says it went straight into his forehead and he fell, instead of falling backwards, he fell forwards towards David so that David would not have to run the extra steps to get up to him. David runs up to the Philistine and he wants to take out a sword and cut off his head. The only problem is the sword is locked. So Uriah is standing there. So he looks at him, and Uriah says, David says, show me how to release the sword. Uriah says, on one condition, I want to convert and become a Jew. You have to give me a Jewish girl to marry. And David says, you show me how to unlock the sword, I'll give you a Jewish girl. The heavenly voice came out and said, you're making deals with my girls? I'm giving him your wife. And David takes out the sword and cuts off Goliath's head. Uriah will convert and marry a very special girl. Her name is Bathsheba. Bathsheba, the granddaughter of Achitophel, the wise, wise man Achitophel, David's top advisor. His granddaughter Bathsheba, who is still a minor, 4 or 5 years old, will be married to Uriah the Hittite, who will become one of David's top men. and she's very, very young. So David cuts off his head and he holds it up. The Philistines see that the brave warrior they were counting on is dead. They start running. And with that, the Jewish army gives chase into Philistine territory, and they run into Gat and Ekron. They run into Philistine territory. So we won that battle. David comes back to Yerushalayim. This is the first time we encounter Yerushalayim. Doesn't say why. David is victorious. He takes Goliath's head to Jerusalem. He takes Goliath's weapons, and it doesn't say why. This is the first time we encounter Yerushalayim as a special place. What's unique about Yerushalayim? Doesn't say. Shaul sees David going out towards Goliath. He says to his chief general, Avner, whose descendant is he? The way he's walking, he looks like royalty. Avner says, I don't know. What happened there? Remember David's nemesis? What was his name? Doeg Adomi. Shaul asks Avner, is he a descendant of kings? What does Doeg say? Before you ask if he's a descendant of kings, he's not even a Jew. Shaul says, what do you mean? He says, well, he's not a kosher Jew. His great-grandmother was Ruth, the Moabite. Moabites aren't allowed to marry to the Jewish people. Don't worry about it. He can't be king. He's not worthy of marrying a regular Jew. He's not a kosher Jew. So Avner says, no, I'm sorry. It's his grandmother, great-great-grandmother. Female Moabites are allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So Doeg says, how do you know? Are you going to say female Amalekis are also allowed? So he says, no. By Moab it says, because they didn't greet you with water and food, and women can't come out and greet the men with water and food. So Doeg says, okay, the men could have brought men food and water. The women could have brought women food and water. The women didn't go and greet the women, so that's a good reason why the Moabite women are also not kosher. Avner stands there in silence. He doesn't have an answer. Shaul says to Avner, no, that's what I just asked you. Is he a kosher Jew or not? Is he fit to be king or not? Avner says, I don't know how to answer him. So Shaul says, go to Shmuel, go to the Beis Medrash and ask, what's the halacha? Avner runs over to Shmuel's Beis Medrash and asks, what's the halacha? And he starts having the conversation he had with Doeg. Shmuel stops him and he says, you're not asking me pure questions. These questions come from someone who wants to undermine the tradition of the Jewish people. Just because the questions sound logical doesn't mean they're legitimate. Someone drove you to these questions. You didn't have these questions on your own. They stem from a mind that is going against the way of the Torah. I'll answer you and I'll prove to you that they're wrong. A wife can't just take her husband's food and go out. The Moabite husbands wouldn't just let their wives go out and take their food. If the husband said, the Jews are our enemies, we're not feeding them, the wives couldn't go against that and take the food out. But your question didn't come from a pure place. Whoever asked you that question was not pure, Shmuel tells Avner. And with that, we have the ruling from Shmuel, the ruling that David is a kosher Jew. And this ruling begins to be the strength of David. We will see that the question of David's genealogy will haunt him his whole life. He will never bury this question. All his life, people will keep saying, are you even legitimate? This is what Chazal say. This was David's strength. Chazal say, you want to know why David succeeded where Shaul didn't? The Gemara says, because he had a kupat shratzim. He had skeletons in his closet. The fact that he knew that people could always tell him, you're not really a kosher Jew, that kept him in line. Chazal say that's what kept him humble. And that was the secret to David's success. Chazal credited David's success, this conversation that kept taunting David. The realization that people were always saying negative things behind his back kept David humble. And that's what kept him successful. So in life, no one wishes this upon himself. No one wants people to say bad things about him. No one wants to have skeletons. But we all have some kind of skeletons. Chazal say, you will not succeed as a leader unless you have some kind of kupat shratzim. Chazal said, a basket of vermin behind your back that people can pull out and say, but you're that. And that's what David had. And this was, Chazal say, the secret to his success. Now, we are up to the beginning of the great story between David and Shaul, which will take us to the end of Shaul's life now.